Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast. I'm Brian Christofferson. I'm joined by Michael Bruntz. It's a feel-good story with Husker Hoops as they head to Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. Nebraska doesn't play till Friday at 8 p.m. So get your caffeine in you, Bruntz, like midday, or I don't know what the latest you can take your coffee is. If you're like me, you used to set it right by the bedstand and just drink it, like wake up in the middle of the night and have a little sip, but I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, that I can do that. I can usually pound a cup of coffee, and that's called the coffee nap, by the way, is if you drink a cup of coffee, take a nap before the caffeine kicks in, and then you wake up like 20 minutes later refreshed.
Oh, okay. Is that how Don Draper did it a little differently? His wasn't the coffee nap, it was a bourbon nap, but he used to do that on Mad Men, and it seemed to work out for him when he had a big presentation to give.
Same basic idea.
Yeah. Anyway, Nebraska doesn't play till 8 p.m. At least on Friday. And we don't know who they're going to play as we do this podcast, but we'll work through that a little bit. The potential teams the Huskers could see as the 3 seed, which has been widely celebrated around here for fair reason, since they're picked 12th to start the season in the league. Possible teams they could see are 6 seed Indiana, which has suddenly won 4 in a row. 11 seed Penn State, which Nebraska handled with ease at PBA, but does have they got some guards who can pressure you and cause turnovers and are going to challenge you in that way with Ace Baldwin. And then the 14 seed Michigan, who I do not expect to make it to Friday, but I guess you never know. Yeah, you're probably right, shaking your head, Bruntz, but they technically could be an opponent.
They are in the tournament, and I don't at first glance. I mean, Indiana's playing well of late, but did it feel like a fairly like manageable draw for having the 3 seed, all things considered? Like, the teams that are there, you don't want to like go all winnable games on the thing, but it feels like those 3 teams, there's not one matchup there where I'm like, oh, Nebraska's in trouble there. Like, Indiana's got dudes, but I mean, they handled them, I think, with ease in the two games they played them.
Yeah, I mean, they beat them by 15 in Bloomington just a couple weeks ago before the Hoosiers' winning streak. So you have to, I mean, that obviously stands out. Indiana by far is playing the best of the teams Nebraska could face. Like, they've seemed to find a little something. Xavier Johnson is back healthy now at point guard, and it's sort of, I think, helped them out. Khalil Ware, I think, is one of the best players in the league right now. But I do like the matchup for Nebraska. I guess it goes into that whole thing. If you think it's hard to beat a team 3 times in one season, if you buy into that, if that's real, I don't know if that stat actually carries weight or not, but people always say it, so we'll say it. But that's what Nebraska would have to do. I wouldn't be shocked if Penn State knocks off Indiana. That's my sort of bold prediction, because I think their pressure defense, I mean, first they got to beat Michigan, so by the time this airs, they could be out. But here on Wednesday afternoon, when we're recording this, I could see Penn State, you know, getting to that round. Either way, you're going to face somebody who's playing for their postseason lives. So it's not going to be an easy game whenever you're in the quarterfinals. But you're right, Bruns. I think it's of the draws you could have got, I think it's the most manageable one there is. And then it gets you a chance to maybe play Illinois. Although the reason why Nebraska is in a good seeding is Illinois is either going to play Ohio State or Iowa, who are both trending well or were at the end of the year. And I know Illinois beat Iowa twice, but that could be a tough matchup for them. So yeah, Nebraska at the 3 line probably got the best possible deal, and you don't have to see Purdue in theory if you could make it all the way to Sunday until Sunday.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good breakdown of things. I mean, I agree with you that Penn State kind of seems like the team that could emerge as kind of the win a couple games that maybe they're not supposed to, or you kind of win a couple games and start thinking, okay, maybe, you know, just maybe here we got something a little cooking here. I don't know. Indiana, does the fact that they've actually like weighed in on Mike Woodson's future, does that change the picture there for them? I don't know. But, you know, the one thing about that matchup that scares me is just their post presence and their ability to maybe hurt Nebraska there for 40 minutes.
Khalil Ware has been dynamic lately, you know, as a 7-footer. He's started to really put it together. I think he got third-team all-conference. I actually had him a little higher than that because I thought he was playing that kind of ball at the end of the season. But, yeah, he's a tough matchup. But, you know, I think Nebraska will take their chances because, you know, Nebraska's got the advantage with guys who can hit shots from the outside. Indiana's not a really good 3-point shooting team most of the time. And so in the matchups they've had with Nebraska, they're always trying to make up like a 27-30-point deficit behind the arc or something like that, you know, where they hit 4 or 5 and Nebraska hits, you know, 12, 13, whatever. So I like Nebraska in that matchup, and I think they're going to get to at least Saturday. I really do. We'll, you know, if they play how they have been on the defensive end, and you know, continue to get contributions sort of across the board on offense, I like Nebraska to at least play into Saturday, which of course would put them on CBS.
Hey, the network of stars. Do you think this? Do you have a sense, I guess, kind of mentally where this team's at? Because I was thinking about this the other day. And when Nebraska made that run under Tim Miles and you had the culmination in No-Sit Sunday, and it was such a big, you know, you felt like you'd finally gotten to the top of the mountain. And I don't think that team really reset well when they got to the Big Ten tournament. Like, do you get the sense that this team is still feels like they have a lot to play for? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the work is not done. Like, do you get the sense that they still feel like they have a lot of work to left to do on this season? Because I think sometimes teams fall victim to that, especially teams that, you know, maybe aren't in the tournament frequently or, you know, weren't expected to be there in that given year.
That's an excellent point, because I think it's probably advantageous for Nebraska that, like, their Sunday game was against lowly Michigan. You know, it was sort of a game you're expected to handle. And if you look at, they've won 6 of their last 7. It was a lighter load for Nebraska down the stretch. So there wasn't like that pinnacle game, you know, against like Purdue, like 4 days ago or 7 days ago, where, you know, you're sort of living in that moment still or feeling the rush of that. There was no big rush from beating Michigan in front of 5,000 people, I don't think. It was just handling business. And so that's kind of nice that you come off of a game like that, you know, without your head in the clouds or still reliving it all like Tim's team did 10 years ago for fair reason. That was like an environment like we've never seen, you know, around here with basketball. And then, you know, everything after that is it's hard to almost live up to it. And if you'll remember, Bruns, not to go all 10 years ago, but Miles' team actually played really well for a half, And I think they're up like 15 or so on Ohio State. And then they started getting pressed and they just crumbled.
Yeah.
Turnover machine, and the game got away from them. And it felt like the season did sort of too. I also think that team, remember when they lost that Friday game, there was a little bit of consternation about the seeding still. Like, they ended up an 11 seed that year. And so they were kind of on the edge. I think an advantage for this team is it feels like they're solid enough now, like in that almost 8-9 line, that even if they lose for Friday, it's not going to dent them to the point they're on the bubble or anything like that. And I have to think that's a useful thing to have in your mind, like going to the, to that game, you know, knowing that, you can be a little loose, you can have fun with it. You don't have to stress, like Rink Mass kind of mentioned this the other day, like, thinking like, if we lose, is this last time we were on the court together, or like, could it drop you to the NIT or something like that? That's thoughts not in your head right now. And I would think that's kind of a freeing thing going into this tournament.
Yeah. Well, and I think it helps too with the way that this team is constructed. I mean, you've got a lot of mature veteran guys. You know, you mentioned Mast. I mean, I think he's nobody's ever probably accused him of being young and inexperienced. I mean, he's got he's working on his master's degree in physics, but you know, you've got Bryce Williams that's been through it. You've got, you know, Casey is in his last year. These guys have played a lot of basketball, and I think it's a mix of guys who have been through it and kind of understand what basketball this time of year is like, combined with guys who are also kind of getting towards the end of their careers at Nebraska and can kind of hear that clock ticking and feel like, you know, we've got to make something happen here. So it's an interesting kind of cocktail, I think, of, you know, that experience, and also just the, you know, needing to, you know, kind of make this your last hurrah here too. So I don't know if that helps, but it seems like it's not going to be a group that's going to be awed by anything that they're going to see, and is going to kind of have a mature approach to, you know, what the tournament's going to be.
Yeah. And I actually think it helps a bit to have guys who really grip the idea of the history that's involved with, like, you know, when you're in the March Madness tournament and you won a game, there's an understanding from a guy like Josiah Alec of like, how big a deal that is. I mean, you, like, it's not overstated to say you're now those guys who 25 to 30 years from now are getting introduced at like a halftime of a game, you know, and that everybody is remembering you that way, because it would be such a milestone for this program. So I actually like that the guys are mature enough that it's like, you can tell, not like a passing thought to them of that idea. They know what's at stake. And is there pressure with that? Sure. But the good pressure, same as I think it could be a good kind of pressure for a guy like Keisei Tominaga, who we'll get to as a second teamer here in a second. But, you know, he's one of those guys, one of those characters that you could see, like, if he went off like in the first round or something in the NCAA tournament, he's more than just our Big Ten bubble story. Then he's like one of those, you know, guys that they're talking about like nationally, and Charles Barkley's talking about and stuff like that. So I think that allure could be a nice carrot too for guys like Casey, who, by the way, was named second team All Big Ten by the coaches, and third team by the media. What do we know? And then Rink Mass was named third team All Big Ten by the coaches, and honorable mention by the media. It's the first time, Bruns, that they've had two Huskers, multiple Huskers in the top three teams in 20 years. So it was a pretty big deal.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Was there any of those, did they surprise you, I guess, with where they landed? I mean, you're a voter, so I mean, I don't know if you want to share where you had guys, but I mean, was there anybody in that group that you're like, okay, that was appropriate, that, you know, somebody was left off? I mean, what were kind of your takes on, you know, when things rolled out?
No, it's one of those votes where I'm proud to talk about it. And pat myself on the back because I was aligned with the coaches. And I always feel like that sort of,
there
like,
you go.
You feel good, you know, when it's that. It's like, okay, the guys who are actually scouting them saw it the same way.
Fran McCaffrey's going to give you a little bit of a point across the floor when he sees you up in Minneapolis.
That guy knows ball. They're thinking that. Yeah. They're not thinking that. But I did feel good about it. Casey was second team for me. And to me, it was easy. He had pretty good numbers that could vouch for it. But also, whenever you would listen to Hoiberg talk about how other teams viewed him, and you know, that's a close coaching community. They talk with each other. Like, he's friends with, you know, like McCaffrey and Brad Underwood and those guys. Like, they discuss their matchups and stuff like that. And Hoiberg would always say how Casey is definitely number one on the opposing team's board of like, you got to take away or the biggest headache. And yes, he would occasionally have dry spells and he had like a 3 or 4 game stretch there where everybody was kind of asking what's up with Casey. But, you know, he still really got hot for stretches, had the 30 point game to finish it off. And I just thought for a team that finishes the 3 seed, Nebraska deserved a representative to me in the top 10 players. And I think Nebraska's side of the fence, the guy inside the walls would have said Casey's the best guy to throw up there first because of like how much attention he gets and how he's a decoy, right? Like he was in the second half against Michigan for other guys to just get to the rim sometimes because they got to pay so much attention to Tominaga. And then Mass, third team to me because I just feel like, you know, he really fills the stats pretty well with points and rebounds. He can occasionally go off from behind the arc, you know, like he did against Ohio State where he had 34, but he's also Nebraska's leading assist getter, you know, and he's a good facilitator. And I just think so much of the offense runs through him. I don't think this team would be what it is without a guy like him. He kind of filled the Derek Walker role and then even gave the outside shooting presence that Derek couldn't, that spaced the floor more. And I just felt like when you put it all together, even if he had some games where it was a little off, he was deserving of being recognized somewhere on those teams. So I was glad that he did get that. The only one I would say I voted for that didn't get on, and I think Nebraska thought should have been on, was Juwan Gary as all Big Ten defensive team. And the argument would be he's played well enough to do it for one, but also he's a representative sort of a group that probably played as good a defense as most anyone in the league since February 1st. And is top 50 defensively in metrics nationally. So I thought maybe Nebraska should have had a guy on there.
Was that a snub? Do you think that was a snub?
Yeah, we could say it was a snub. We're talking to an audience that's definitely going to nod their head and like, yeah, it's called a snub. So I say we just go with it. I think Terrence Knighton thought it was a snub. I believe the Husker D-line coach weighed in on it, which I appreciate.
Well, if Pot Roast says it's a snub, I tend to –
There you go.
I agree. But how do you approach the voting? I always get asked this. Like I do the Heisman stuff, and people always ask, "Well, how do you figure out your top three or whatever?" How do you do it from an all conference perspective? Because there's a lot more players that you have to kind of slot in. And I mean, maybe you do, but I doubt you're probably watching every Penn State game or every Indiana game. How do you approach it? I mean, I think people would kind of just be curious to know the process.
I watched a lot this year. You're right. I didn't see every game. But it helps when you go to every press conference and you hear from Fred himself. I think coaches give you good clues too, I think, which I use as to the insights of who are the toughest guys to go against, like who causes you the most concern the night before. And that's how I think about it. Brunts on those votes and always have sort of, it's like, which guy out there is giving the most headaches to the other side at 1 a.m., you know, the night before that game. And I think the first team was pretty close to that. You know, it was Edie, Terrence Shannon, Boo Booey, Braden Smith from Purdue got on there. And then it was split between media and coaches with Marcus Domask and Jameer Young from Maryland. I didn't have Young on my first team. And the reason I think there's has to be some value in, like, unless a guy's just unbelievable, like there has to be value in like, did he raise his squad to like, you know, a top team in the league? And Maryland wasn't good this year as a team. Beat Nebraska pretty badly in one game, but as a whole, they were not good this season. Jameer Young's a fantastic player, but sometimes like if there's a tiebreaker, I'd prefer to put the guy on there who, like, he elevated his squad, you know, to the top four or five in the league. So that's kind of how I went through it. And then I don't ever want to slant it toward Nebraska. I just thought when they were the three seed, they deserved to have two guys in the top 15. You know, like they earned that through their record. And those were the guys that I thought best represented, like, what they're doing. Bryce Williams, certainly, you could say, like, is a guy who's around the corner from that and just as valuable sometimes. I think C.J. Wiltshire would have won Sixth Man of the Year, like, in February, early February, but he kind of fell off there, and so he didn't get it. But all in all, it was a good day for Nebraska, recognized. And, of course, Fred Hoiberg is co-coach of the year with Matt Painter, which I thought he should get it. And I'm fine with the co. I think it's fine because I also do think the guy who coaches the top team gets screwed in those votes a lot of times. So I sort of didn't mind them sharing it.
We kind of talked about that last week. I mean, do you give it to the guy that basically did what was expected, or does it become like you completely, you know, overplayed expectations type of an award? I mean, I think you can take it either way. I mean, I saw a few people that voted for Painter who I would have expected because they're kind of towards that end geographically of the conference, but I don't know. I mean, John Rothstein was pounding the pulpit for Chris Collins. I don't know. I mean, in my mind, it was either Painter or Hoiberg, with all apologies to what's going on in Evanston.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Nebraska ended up with the same record as Northwestern. Northwestern, I think people thought going in was going to be you know, a little better than Nebraska. I don't think they thought that in Nebraska's walls. They knew they had some potential, which was interesting, by the way. We'll get more into this some down the line. But Rink Mass said when he first got here, he, after getting on the floor with guys, thought this is a top five team in the league. Like, he believed that that was going to happen. And so they saw it right away what it could be. But yeah, usually it feels like those awards for Coach of the Year go to who put the most egg on everybody's face from their preseason vote. You know, like, who do you pick 11th and they finished fourth or whatever? In this case, it was 12th to third. So I think Fred deserved it. How he handled his portal additions and all that. Definitely Chris Collins, I think, would have been next in line, but he got it last year. And you know how this goes. They take turns usually.
Yeah. Where'd you have Nebraska preseason? Did you have them like 10th, 11th?
I picked them 10th, I think.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And if I'm honest about it, which you're supposed to be honest about things, I actually thought that when I did the thing, I thought they would be like 7th or 8th, really. I'm not saying that now. I actually did think they had more than people knew, but I chickened out of it. And I sort of thought, we did a 24/7 sports poll. I was like, you know, they haven't earned the right to be higher. So like, in that's not really what you're supposed to. So I feel a little bad about that preseason vote, because I do think I thought they would be more in the middle. But it's hard when you do those, you know, because you're trying to be like, okay, who do you slide below them then? You don't know exactly who's going to fall below, and it ends up being hard to talk yourself into moving them up over this team specifically sometimes. And that's why it ends up the way it did. So I kind of thought they could be like 8th or so, but I had them 10th, I believe.
You always kind of fall victim, I think, sometimes to the jersey in those situations too, whenever you're trying to, like, you have a pack of teams. You know, you just kind of like, well, if Indiana's in that group, like, they'll probably, you know, be towards the front of that pack. But it's tough to do. I mean, especially with the way the Big Ten was this year. Like, it was really pretty bunched in the middle between, like, what, 5 and, like, 8 or 9?
Yeah. And I was really big on, like, a team like Ohio State, for example, because they had, you know, Jamison Battle going over there and Bruce Thornton. And they kind of made a run at the end of last year, too, in the Big Ten tournament. And I thought they were just going to pick up where they left off, and they definitely didn't. And now they're kind of proving like to be the team you thought maybe that they could have been all along with their interim coach. But yeah, those are hard. So I don't make fun of too many people for that Nebraska was 12th, cause I didn't have them that much further up. Yeah, I think Fred was totally deserving of it. And you have to say he's really flipped the narrative on him in the program in a year's time. I think people were starting to kind of flip that page last year a little bit and liked what was happening, but they needed confirmation this season, and they more than did that. There weren't a lot of people on our board or anywhere in this state who would have said in October they were going to the NCAA tournament. I just don't believe that. So I think the fact that they're probably going to be there says it all, and people have to admit, like, okay, they did a little better than I thought they would.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a season, certainly compared to what expectations and realistic expectations probably were coming into it. And I guess we'll see if they can keep it rolling. How far do you think they make it in Minneapolis to put you on the spot? You said through to Saturday for sure?
I'll say Saturday. I'll say they get knocked out in the semis. I think people here would enjoy if they got one more crack at Illinois, just because of how that game ended. You know, they're one defensive possession, and you could argue a questionable foul call from winning that one by a point, which, by the way, would have, if everything played out the same, you never know, would have flipped Nebraska up to second, because it was a two-game difference, and everybody, you know, Nebraska gets one, Illinois loses one, tiebreaker. Nebraska actually would have been the second seed. So that's how close they were to that. But that'd be fun to see that game. I don't know though. You know how these conference tournaments go. Usually there's somebody who pulls a surprise, like some double digit seed that's like still there sometimes on a Saturday. I think Ohio State's a dangerous team. I think Iowa could make a run. So I'm not banking on anything, but I don't know that you could say Nebraska is just going to definitely play Indiana and Illinois. If Nebraska does win their first game, I could see it being against a different team. And then also maybe not the Illini on Saturday, the way this tournament sometimes plays out.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think your point is a really good one about kind of the line coming down to Illinois. Like, there's some teams that can get hot and have some guys that can really play. I mean, even Iowa, I mean, is kind of scary too if they're able to get rolling and stay out of their own way. I mean, you saw what they did against Nebraska and Iowa City earlier this season. I mean, they're just that kind of team. So, yeah, I mean, it might not be I'm not expecting chalk all the way through, so we'll see what happens, I guess.
Last thought, I'm not advocating for this because obviously you want to go there and it'd be a heck of a lot of fun if they got to Sunday and we're playing in that game right before the selection show on CBS and all that. I could see, I've thought about this before for other teams, there is sometimes that advantage, like you play well enough on Friday, you like win a game, and then maybe Saturday it doesn't quite go your way. You didn't play bad, but you lost by five or something. You kind of head home and you're like, all right, you have your little party Sunday. And it kind of it goes back to the point you were making about Tim Miles' team 10 years ago coming off of that no sit Sunday game. And it's hard to come down from that mountaintop. And I could see that scenario if it happened exactly like that, where Nebraska wins a game or so. But even if they didn't and they're home over the weekend, you're like, all right, let's just readjust. Let's go on to the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world either. So there's good options for Nebraska. You either really have a memorable run this weekend, or you're still going to be in, and it gives you a time to kind of catch your breath, be like, all right, let's go do the real thing now.
Yeah, for sure. Always a bright side, even if you get sent home early. And we'll find out Sunday where Nebraska's headed. Right now, it seems like that 8-9 line is kind of where things live. Pending upsets and, you know, maybe a run in Minneapolis, but, you know, probably, I don't know. There's a lot of that 8-9 matchup leading to Houston right now out there. Which I believe would be Memphis is what you're looking at. So that's a possibility there. But anything else, Brian, before you jet off to the land of Prince and the Minnesota Vikings?
No, we'll have, we'll have all the coverage from Minneapolis and go hog wild here as we find out where they're going to be in the brackets on Sunday and all that stuff. And obviously the women are going to be picked too after almost knocking off Iowa and Caitlin Clark this last Sunday. So it's good times with Husker Hoops, and everybody should come back to Husker 24/7 for all the latest.